The following teaching is brought to you by Crosspoint Church. For sermon notes and other resources, visit gotocrosspoint.com.
1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in our chosen series, 1 Samuel chapter 17. There's a link on the screen to follow along on online Bible there. Get your own Bibles out, your mobile devices, and read along with me. You can also get a note sheet out. You can get the note sheet that you just download and print before you get here, or you can just get a yellow pad or the back of something and take some notes on some things today. It's a world famous story. For those of you that have gone to church your whole life, you've heard this story before. It's the story of David and Goliath. But man, some of you have not been to church in a long time. Some of us are coming to church again in our living rooms, in family rooms, and in our desks, on laptop computers and devices. And we're so excited to welcome you here to be part of this with us. But this David and Goliath story has even been talked about on The Simpsons and South Park and all kinds of places. So it's a very well-known story. It starts off like this in chapter 17, verse 1. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Soko in Judah and Azekah at Ephes Damim. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. So you can picture the scene now. A big valley in the middle, two hills. They're not really mountains, more big hills that are there. And they're in a face-off there going, who's going to move first? Who's going to attack first? Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, which is probably about that big around. Tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds, his armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why? Picture the echo. Picture the echo, hear the echo. Why are you all coming out to fight, he called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. The first thing on our note sheet there today is they were overwhelmed. What Goliath is proposing that they do is to fight this battle the way they often did in ancient times, that rather than have a huge loss of life in a protracted long-term battle on both sides, what they did was they did something called representative combat. It's this battle by champion. It's everybody pick your best person. They'll come out here and fight. And whoever wins, that's the winner. And then we become your servants. We become, you become the rulers of us. And so that's what he's proposing. And the Israelites see this guy, hear this guy. They are impressed and depressed. They are hopeless and helpless as they face this giant Goliath. I wonder today if we feel a bit of that ourselves. We're not facing a giant named Goliath. We're facing a giant named COVID the virus. COVID the giant right now. But really, I don't want to just talk about the virus and the situations that we're in right now. I want to talk to you to widen this out, because the good news of this is this situation, this crisis that we're in right now, it will ebb and flow It'll eventually pass. We're going to get through this. But other giants are waiting out there. Other situations and crisis kinds of things will come up. And we have a decision to make in those moments. Whether it's a crisis that we personally face, or maybe it's a crisis that we collectively will face, but they're coming. And they're not always a negative crisis. It's not always a big problem or a trial or a difficulty. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the opportunity, the challenge, this dream, something in our heart that gets us kind of excited about it, but it's not just a little small thing to do. It's a big honkin'. It's an impossible challenge for us to face on our own. And when that happens, we have a question to ask ourselves. Will I be helpless or hopeless? Will I sit back and be depressed and just go back to reverting back to old patterns? Or am I going to step forward like we're going to see what David does here in this story? Am I going to be a game changer? Am I going to say, forget about how it's always been? Forget about what everybody says about me, how they're going to label me and push me off to the side? I'm going to step into this situation. I'm going to change the game here. And what I want us to see here today, as we do that, we will step out in boldness and confidence, like Paul told Timothy, to step out with power and love and a sound mind, with confidence and caring and common sense. And we're going to see in this story here what David does to be a game changer, and see some patterns in there for us, how we can too be the game changers in situations we face. So the story continues here. Look down at verse 12. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. What we already know about David is he's been anointed to be the next king of Israel. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons. Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shimeah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David was the youngest son. David's 3 oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army, but David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. For, here it is, 40 days, a month and a half this has gone on. Every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army and he defied them. And as he defied them and taunted and mocked them, he wasn't just defying and taunting and mocking them. He was defying and taunting and mocking their God. And so what kind of God do you have? Our gods are bigger and tougher than your God. One day, Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd. In your Bible, on your mobile device or your paper Bible, put a little note there, circle, underline, highlight there. That's going to be a fascinating little detail we're going to get back to in a second. He leaves the sheep with another shepherd, and he set out early the next morning with the gifts, as Jesse had instructed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. To be a game changer here, folks, here's the first thing to write down. When the crisis hits, when it gets difficult, when you're overwhelmed, number one, do your job. Take care of your responsibilities. Do you see there? David was the next king of Israel, and yet he's taking care of the sheep. He's following through his responsibilities. He's the the shepherd of the sheep. He's also the Uber Eats driver. His dad sends him. The next king of Israel has just been sent to be the Uber Eats driver to deliver supplies and to be a messenger boy back and forth to catch his dad up on how things are going with his older brothers. When a crisis hits, take care of your stuff, man. Take care of your stuff. If you're mom, you're a dad, husband or a wife, employee, employer, small business owner, it can be easy when a crisis hits or when a big opportunity comes up to kind of use those things to almost say, well, I can't deal with that stuff right now. I got to go deal with this important thing. And probably the most important thing you do, it's what they talk about. I forget the guy's name. He's a former general. It's all been all over TED Talks. One of the most important things you can do every day, make your bed. Don't stay in your pajamas all day long. Get dressed. Get some structure there. Follow through on your responsibilities. Do your job. Verse 24 now. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. This is the ultimate stimulus package, the incentive reward program. David asked a soldier standing by, wait, what? What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God? And these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that's the reward for killing him. But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. What have I done now? David replied. Those of you that are younger brothers and sisters, those of you that are the youngest people in a company, you're always getting this, aren't you? Going, I'm just talking here. What did I do? I was only asking a question. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing. You notice he doesn't stay in an argument here. There's no point staying in an argument with somebody who doesn't want to listen to you. You go talk to somebody else. You just move on. He asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. So he's starting to create a ruckus in the camp. He's hearing the report of what this person gets. He's seen and heard Goliath's taunt. Now the king calls for him. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. You ever been told that? You ever been told, hey, there's no way you can do this? Maybe somebody else. Here's the irony in this. Saul is head and shoulders above the whole nation of Israel. We know that from when he was chosen to be king. You know who should have been on that battlefield fighting the giant Goliath? Saul. But he's not doing it. He's staying back in his tent. He's just as frightened as everybody else is. And he's telling this boy, David, there's no way. And some of us have also heard, well, you're only a girl. You're only a student. You're only a college student. You're just a divorced person. Or you've had these problems in your past. You're only, and they label you and write you off. Second thing to write down here today, somewhere there in your note sheet if you want. When this happens and you step into a situation, there's always going to be people, when you step up, they're going to say, step off, step back. Number two, write this down. Ignore the critics. They're everywhere. There's always somebody who's going to tell you that you don't match up, that you don't measure up. Here's the crazy thing. You expect that to hear from your enemies, that you're no good and that you're stupid, you're ridiculous. It gets really challenging when you hear from your family and your friends and your boss. And David has to overcome these obstacles here if he's going to be a game changer. So ignore the critics. But David persisted. Look at verse 34. "Man, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it." He doesn't just let it happen. He's God, it's just a sheep. "I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw or the mane, kind of around the head, and club it to death." Now, for those of you that are sensitive souls, I get that. That's challenging. That's a video I want to see someday. David out there, and the thing turns on him, and he grabs it and just clubs it to death. "I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." This is powerful stuff here. His heart has been roused. He said, it's time that somebody steps up and steps into this situation and puts an end to this nonsense. Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. Whenever you step into a situation like this, there's always the experts around, the people that are older, that are more experienced, that are going to tell you, "I get you want to do it your way, but you need to do it my way. I've got the background experience. You need to do it our way when it comes to how you parent, how you discipline, how you run a business, how you deal with a challenge or a problem or an opportunity." So Saul says, "Hey, I'm not going to go out there, but you should do it my way." Look what David does here. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. The third way we're a game changer is be yourself. Be yourself. Don't let people impose their methodology and their patterns and the way they would do it. You've got to go with what you know. Now, here's the crazy thing about David. He goes out there with a sling and 5 stones to fight this battle. He doesn't fight every battle that way. He grows. He learns some things. He learns how to use a sword and a spear and to wear battle armor. But he has no time right now to learn how to do those things. He says, "I got to go with what I know." David goes out with the confidence in his God. But I think sometimes if we're not careful, we have romanticized this. We have Sunday schoolified it so much that we imagine when it says he goes out with a slingshot, we imagine a kid with a toy that he got at Walmart. And he's just going to go out there just, you know, with a water pistol and a little slingshot thing. And the slingshot he had was not the kind of slingshot where, you know, the little rubber bands on it and you pull it back and go bing. It would be a pouch right here with 2 leather straps. You would gather those leather straps to your hand with the rock in it, and you would reel it around and whew, let one of the straps go, and pew, the rock just takes off at high velocity. Shepherds were experts with slingshots. David was prepared for this giant moment in his life, this moment that would catapult him to the headlines, to national fame, to be the stuff of stories that we've told now for thousands of years. But you know how he became the expert? Not in the moment. He got prepared for this moment in the hours and days and weeks of being out there with a bunch of smelly sheep, bored out of his mind, wondering what's going on here, perhaps thinking someday I'll get free from this. And he had no idea at the time that he was being prepared for a giant moment. Same thing with you and I. Told you this last week, don't waste the wilderness. There's stuff you're doing right now, you may see no point for it. It may make no sense to you. Just keep doing it. There's going to come a moment where all of that experience, maybe even years of experience of the tediousness, of just the meaninglessness of routine, kind of tasks and duties is going to prepare you for a powerful moment. Historians and scholars will tell us, though, that him using a slingshot, shepherds were experts at this, but not just shepherds. There's a verse up here going to come up here on the screen in a bit from the book of Judges. It's just one or two books back to the left in your Bible. I want you to see this, because historians will tell us, both biblical historians and then historians who study history even outside of the Bible, will tell us that armies had slingers in them. That was their title. They were part of the infantry, and they were trained for it. Look what Judges 20:16 says. It just describes this. It talks about the elite troops. Among Benjamin's elite troops, 700 were left-handed, and each of them could sling a rock and hit a target within a hairbreadth without missing. And this is like probably 40, 50 yards out. That means they could put a piece of hair on a tree and they could hit it with such accuracy and velocity. So this is David. He's got the skills for it. He's got the confidence in God, not just in himself, but he's out there as an expert with this. Now, the tricky part with this is David is not part of the army. He's not been trained, formally trained in any of this. He's just trained himself. He has been self-taught. And so he wants to go out there on this battlefield. And you can understand Saul's apprehensiveness when he tells him, I'm not sure you should do this. But he decides, I'm going to go with what I know, use my background experience, and just see what God does here. You can hear my clock chiming in the background. Back to the book of Samuel now, 1 Samuel 17. He picked up the 5 smooth stones, this is verse 40, walked across the valley, shepherd's staff and sling. He started across the valley to fight the Philistine, verse 41. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the name of his gods. Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, and now you've got, guys, here one of the epic in the history of cinema. Back before they made cinema, this is one of the epic battle speeches ever. You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. And David would even say, not even ultimately with a slingshot. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. If you want to be a game changer, number 4, you got to get mad. And I don't mean stop this nonsense of, well, I'm just concerned about that. Game changers get mad. There's a holy indignation that looks at situations and says, this will not stand. And I wonder, Crosspoint, when's the last time I ever got mad about something that was really important, where the glory of God, the standards of God were being defied, were being minimized, were being mocked? In verse 26 and verse 36, as well as in verses 45, 46, 47, David is angry. His passion has been roused over the standards and the glory and the fame of God being defied and defamed. I wonder where we see that in our world, in our culture today. Where is that for you? Where do you look around the world and go, that's just not right? We got to do something about that. That's what propels our church to do things like parties with a purpose. And we have like 90, 95 kids in countries all over the world where we're sponsoring them and helping them, rescue them from poverty, while we're involved in ministries to help with victims of sex trafficking, with homelessness, with all those kind of things. We look at it and go, I've moved beyond just concern about this and moved beyond just compassion and care to, dang it, I'm mad about this. Somebody has to do something about this. He's passionate for God's glory. This will help you deal with your giants. When you get to situations where you look at that giant and go, okay, this is not just an ordinary soldier I'm going against. This is an impossible giant that I'm facing here. When your anger and your emotions get roused, I'm just telling you, where everybody else says that giant's too big to beat, you know what David said? He's too big to miss. Let's take him. Let's go get him. Now, in all the emotion of get angry and get passionate, get stirred up, next thing to write down here maybe is get prepared too. You notice here, where was it? Back in verse 40, he picked up some stones. You can't imagine David gets all excited. No, I'm going to go out there and get him. Gets out of the battlefield and goes, oh, dang, shoot, I forgot. So you've got to not just react, but you need to think before you act. Don't just react. And then look what happens here. As verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Quickly ran out to meet him. Here's the thing you want to write down here. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. What he does here is different than how you would normally fight a battle like this. Back in those days, in a battle by champion, like a boxing match, a UFC match, where people kind of duck and dodge and jab and feint and try to corner the person and just kind of find probe and look all that. They would do that for a while and see if somebody could get a lucky shot and all that. And this would go on for a while. David changes the rules of engagement. He says, here's the deal. If I'm going to win this thing, I can't just keep doing things the way they've always been done. Because if we keep doing the same old, we're going to get the same old. So instead he decides, I'm going to run right at him. Now the reason he has to run right at him, he's got a slingshot. And his velocity in running towards him will accelerate the speed with which that rock will come out of that sling and find the giant's head. Change the rules. Dare, when you to be a game changer, sometimes that means we're going to do things differently. Man, I could give you example after example in all kinds of situations, in the nonprofit world, in education, in finance, in computers and technology, where people that were game changers dared to do things differently and they were aggressive about it. They didn't just do business as usual. Now it's scary. David is got some confidence because he's got some skill at this, but he's facing a giant. He's not just facing some other warrior out there who's kind of his height and stature. This is an impossible task, even with all of his skills and abilities, but he's got confidence. And the way that we move into being game changers on the battlefield of life when challenges and opportunities are there in front of us is to be confident, not arrogant. Be confident and not arrogant. And here's where your source of confidence will come, that will help you get angry, that will help you move aggressively, will help you get prepared, is that God has prepared you for where he has positioned you. Write that down. God has prepared me for where he has positioned me. And that will give you confidence when you face these overwhelming challenges. If you're not careful, though, we have seen people that go, I'm going to go out there on my own strength and whatever, and they get success once in a while, and that moves into arrogance. What's fascinating is that David writes a bunch of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, and over again, he talks about the fact, man, that the battle belongs to the Lord. You're going to look at some verses this week, some follow-up study questions, and a couple of those are from Psalms, where David talks about the fact, man, it was God who made the difference for me. There's a great verse that I want you to see, though, over in Psalm 33. Psalm 33, I've got this highlighted, underlined in my Bible. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord. But the Lord. I'm so glad there's those but God, but the Lord moments in there. And this is not out of a place of weakness David's talking about. This is a place of, I've got great strength, I've got great wealth, I've got great power and success. He says, look, it's but God even in those moments. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. David goes out there with confidence, not arrogance. And now we get to the big scene of the battle where the cameras are zoomed in right now. You can see David with just running down there with a glint in his eye, just focused in. And you can hear the going like crazy. And Goliath is taunting and laughing at him in the background, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone in slow motion. He hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. And you would think it would end right there? Oh, no, no. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. The other thing to write down here is, when you have these moments of victory, if we're not careful, we have a great initial victory or challenge that we were out there, and we have some initial great success. But if we're not careful, we celebrate too soon. We're like the receiver or the defensive back that intercepts the ball and is going in for the touchdown and starts taunting, and then gets the ball knocked out of his hand or drops it too soon before he crosses the line. Write this down. Finish the job. Finish it. He cuts off his head to make sure he's not mostly dead. David's making sure. He also, we're going to find out, he takes the thing head back and puts it on a big pole and makes a trophy out of it back in his hometown. And then here's what happens too. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. And then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph and rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. The bodies of the dead and wounded Philistines were strewn all along the road from Shaarim as far as Gath and Ekron, and they plundered the deserted Philistine camp. Here's what game changers do. Game changers inspire people that are apprehensive. People that are maybe late adopters that, oh, I'm not sure about this. If you can be a game changer, you'll not just win a great victory for yourself. You'll inspire people around you to jump in with you and do this. David was a game changer. Game changer. Let me just go over these again. You do your job. You ignore the critics. You be yourself. You go with what you know. You get mad. You get prepared. You get aggressive. You're confident, not arrogant, and then you finish the job. That's how today, Crosspoint, we can be a game changer, whatever giants come across our path. In just a minute, we're going to toss it back over to Stephen and take some time and sing some great songs about our God. I want to encourage you to fill out that connection card. Those of you that are still gainfully employed, I encourage you to keep giving online. If you need envelopes or want to stop by the church and get some of those, let us know about that and we'll have somebody get those out to you. But keep giving. If you need help with anything right now, let us know how we can be of help to you. We know that the longer this goes on, we're going to start feeling the ripple effects of this virus in all kinds of situations. So please let us know how we can not just do church, but be the church. And you know, as we transition back now over to Stephen for some songs to worship, really the bigger story here is not about facing our giants. It's about us facing the giant of sin and rebellion and all that. And that giant comes out across the valley and just looks it up and pokes his finger in our chest and says, you're worthless, You're ridiculous. You cannot beat me. And you know what? He's right. This giant of sin and rebellion cannot be beat by us. And so really in this story, the big story here is that we're not David on the battlefield. You know who we are? We're the dudes cowering back in the tents. We can't beat him. But Dad, see the parallels here. Dad sent a son. Just like Jesse sent David, our father sent his son. And when the son showed up, people misunderstood him, mistreated him, kind of shunned him, turned their back on him. But our God was persistent. And when Jesus comes here as the ultimate David hero of this story, he wins the battle. Just like David won the battle with the unlikely weapon of a sling, Jesus wins the battle with the unlikeliest weapon of all, the cross.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. For more resources, check out gotocrosspoint.com.